Mission Mobilization Chats with Ryan Cho, Multiplying Mission Mobilization Movements. This podcast is powered by Global Mission Mobilization Initiative. Subscribe, watch, and listen on YouTube today. Find more exciting resources, teachings, and tools for mission mobilization on globalmmi.net.
All right, well, welcome to our 37th episode of Mission Mobilization Chats, where we're looking at this foundational importance of mobilization as a ministry entity and really wanting to understand it from a broader, more comprehensive type understanding. So in this episode, we're going to consider what the Spirit seems to be saying about stoking a growing focus on prayer, but on a specific kind of prayer. Prayer that is specifically focused on mobilization itself. We call this mobilization prayer. Now, there are a growing number of prayer ministries and prayer initiatives in the earth right now that are actually focused on the unreached, and we always need much more prayer emphasis related to the unreached itself, related to this important category. Yet we've found, doing mobilization for many years now, over 20 years, that there's actually very little prayer emphasis that centers on intercessory prayer for the global church itself to become all that God wants it to be, while also seeing us become a people, the global church, that are rooted in and living from what we call a Great Commission paradigm and identity. There seems to be very little prayer related to this category of prayer. And as we care about mobilization, and as God cares about mobilization, that means that we need to be a people growing in even mobilization prayer. So that's what we want to talk about in this important episode. Now, I'm going to use a little bit about my personal story to introduce this, to talk a little bit about mobilization prayer. So God called me to prayer in general, prayer for the nations, many years ago, when I was in my early 20s. I'm in my late 40s now, so you can do the math on how many years ago that was. So my local church that I was a part of in California, it had a prayer room on site. And this prayer room was devoted to praying for spiritual revival first, and then also for the gospel to be spread around the earth among all the unreached and the frontier people groups. I remember I spent countless hours in that prayer room. And it was in that prayer room, through wrestling with God for breakthrough related to the gospel globally, that my own heart was being transformed. My own heart was being touched. My own heart was becoming aligned with Jesus's own heart and his passion for all the people groups. And so I can honestly say that a significant part of my journey in becoming mobilized for missions was through this kind of praying, focused prayer in a prayer room in California that was dedicated for prayer for the unreached people groups. Now, about 12 years ago, that was way back in my 20s, but about 12 years ago, GMMI as an organization, we started our own prayer room. We call it the Global Harvest Prayer Room. That's right here at our center in Chiang Mai, where we spend devoted, dedicated time in corporate prayer related to the nation. So that was about 12 years ago that we started the prayer room that we have. And we've been faithful and consistent year after year after year, praying a certain number of hours a day in the prayer room. Then, about 8 or so years ago, the Holy Spirit began speaking to us about an aspect of prayer for the nations that we had a little bit overlooked. So we were doing good, praying for the nations, praying for the unreached, praying for the different UUPGs, unengaged, unreached people groups, etc. But the Lord was beginning to show us, you've overlooked an aspect. You're doing good, you've been faithful, and I'm pleased, but I want you to integrate this little piece in as well. And so it was around that same time that I started becoming aware of a very important biblical truth surrounding most of the recorded prayers, actually, in the New Testament. So the Lord was highlighting the Word of God to me and to many others, it wasn't just me, who were beginning to see something in the New Testament that was a little different. What did we see? Well, we saw that Jesus had some recorded prayers in Scripture, right? We saw that Paul has recorded prayers in Scripture. Peter had recorded prayers. John had recorded prayers. And we began to study what the content of these specific recorded prayers is mostly about. And we began to see that generally the recorded, or we can also say apostolic, prayers of the New Testament were actually not primarily focused on the lost. All right? So that was a new idea for me. I always thought, well, the recorded prayers in the Bible, they must be focused on crying out to God for the unreached, right? That's what we do best today. But it began to dawn on us, no, though that actually is not the primary focus of these prayers. It's not on the lost. What is it on? Instead, it's on aspects of spiritual development in believers' lives and even their churches corporately. So we find many of the apostolic prayers focused on prayer for the church at Colossae, the church at Ephesus, the church at Philippi. Peter's books are focused on the church at large, etc. But they're mostly, there are a few prayers for the lost, of course, but mostly the dominating content is not prayer for the lost. The dominating content is actually prayer for the spiritual development. Now, again, this shocked me. I was not happy about that. I'm a missions guy. I'm a mobilization guy. I wanted the focus to be on the unreached, but it was very clear that, wait a second, in Scripture, the prayers are actually not mostly on the unreached. So I had a hard time with this. I was really struggling. And so I began, though, to see that the recorded prayers in the New Testament, they definitely have an element of praying for the lost, but their content is focused on deepening discipleship within the body of Christ. And there are many examples that we could look to see this. A few examples I'll just highlight right now. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17 to 19. This is one of Paul's apostolic prayers for the church at Ephesus. And he says, "The Father of glory," talking to believers, he's not talking to the lost here, "that the Father of glory may give to you," to who? The church. He's focused on prayer for the church, not the unbelieving lost, all right? "So, for may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him," of Christ, "the eyes of your understanding being enlightened." Now, oftentimes we use that as a prayer for the lost. "Lord, enlighten the eyes of their understanding." And that's okay. That's not bad to do. All Scripture is inspired by God, and we can use it in that direction. But the actual context is not prayer for the lost. The actual context is prayer for the church to have the eyes, their spiritual eyes, the revelation of who God is. We know God, but the vast, ongoing, unfolding revelation and clarity and wisdom that he wants to give to us to understand who he is, what he's like, what his plans are, what he's doing in the earth, all these things. That's what Paul is getting at in this prayer. He goes on, "that you might know what the hope of your calling is." He's not talking about unbelievers. He's talking about believers. God wants us to know what the hope of his calling in us is all about. "What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? What is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us?" All of those prayers that are part of that one recorded apostolic prayer, many sub-prayers in that one prayer, all of them focused on the spiritual development, the spiritual depth of the church that he's praying for. Another one, Ephesians chapter 3, same book, different chapter, verses 16 to 19. It says that he would grant you, church at Ephesus, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. He's not talking about unbelievers coming to Christ. He's talking about believers being rooted and grounded, Christ dwelling in their hearts in increasing measures through faith, that you may be able to comprehend with all the saints the width, the length, the depth, the height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Those are prayers specifically for the church. And it goes on and on and on and on. The apostolic recorded prayers of Scripture are almost always dedicated to prayer for the church. Okay, so what we had tended to do in our little praying in our prayer room was to put the focus on the result. What's the result? We want to see unreached peoples coming to faith in Jesus Christ. Well, that's the result. While the majority of Scripture itself appeared to highlight an emphasis on intercession that was not necessarily focused on the result, the unreached peoples coming to faith in Jesus. Instead, those focuses was for the global church to be prepared, to be deepened, to be strengthened, to be enabled, so that she, the global church, can rightly engage and produce fruit among all the nations. Okay? So the Bible, we know, is a perfect book. All right? It's inspired by God. And so even these apostolic recorded prayers that the Bible gives us, and there are many, both Old Testament and New Testament, they are laid out, and even the content is what they are, very much on purpose. All right. So what we need to do is we need to study those prayers in Scripture and learn from them and then apply to them or apply them to our prayer situations as well. And so I began to see in Scripture the heart of God, that He has a very logical, crucial progression in why these prayers are not mainly focused on the lost. We think they should be focused on the unreached. God says, I have a little bit more wisdom than you, little guy. So let me teach you. Let me show you the ways of Scripture. All right. So what is this logical, crucial progression of God's redemptive plan that we find in Scripture, that we find even through these recorded prayers? Well, it's the increase of wholehearted discipleship must come first. That's why the prayers are so dedicated and so devoted to spiritual depth and to spiritual life happening. So this increase of wholehearted discipleship in a growing dimension across the body of Christ, this will actually empower and equip and enable the church itself to be mobilized. And in an increasing measure, that church that is growing in wholehearted love for Jesus, we become more aligned in Jesus's own heartbeat. We can say it that way. Okay. So if we're growing in love for Jesus, then we're going to start to die to our own agendas, and we're going to start to become alive to His primary agenda, which is the church taking the gospel among all the ethnic peoples around the earth. So wholehearted discipleship, biblically, that's why they prayed this way, the apostolic leaders, was to pray for this wholehearted discipleship to be growing that will naturally empower the church to be mobilized. And then the natural outflow of mobilization then is that the church influences all the unreached peoples in an ever increasing way. And so what we began to see is there was a cause and there's an effect. The biblical prayers focused on prayer, crying out for the church to be deepened, the church to be equipped, the church to be spiritually mature. Why? So that she can catch the heartbeat of Jesus and be mobilized in focusing and prioritizing and emphasizing the mission plan and the redemptive plan that God has. So what we can say then is prayer for the church to become wholehearted. Prayer for the church to grow in true discipleship will directly influence and impact unreached frontier people groups across the earth. And this appears to be one of the major reasons, again, why the Holy Spirit deliberately includes the recorded prayers, the apostolic prayers, all throughout the New Testament. What is His purpose in that? Well, He wants to inspire us. He wants to inspire the people of God throughout all the ages, so that we are equipped to emphasize contending spiritually for growth and breakthrough, mainly among the people of God themselves. We cry out for the people of God themselves to be readied and raised up and revived and empowered and renewed. In time, this will begin to influence the unreached people groups. All right, so we're going to give a definition of what we call this mobilization prayer. So this is prayer focused on standing in the gap for the global body of Christ to become all that God intends for her to become spiritually, overcoming all the often shallow and complacent and kind of compromised-filled outlooks and perspectives that we sometimes have, while being simultaneously mobilized, equipped, empowered, and scattered out to impact both culturally near people groups and culturally different people groups. All that together is what we call mobilization prayer. So in other words, mobilization prayer focuses on the necessity of the church growing in spiritual maturity and depth while she is being mobilized, aligning with Jesus's redemptive purposes in all the earth among all the nations. All right, so that's mobilization prayer in a nutshell, related to kind of a definition. Now, based on these insights that the Lord was teaching us, we developed in our GMMI prayer room, we call it the Global Harvest Prayer Room, we developed a bit of a prayer model for prayer meetings that focuses really on three specific categories of prayer points. And so when we do this in the mornings in corporate prayer, we do daily corporate prayer with our staff team. And if we have a training going on, they're involved in that with us and maybe some other people at different times. For us, this lasts about 1 hour. So we break up these three prayer categories into a 1 hour kind of prayer model. So each day, the way that we do this is we pray for a different national church, a different country focus. Now, this could be any country in the world because we believe that God wants to see the church in every single nation mobilized for the Great Commission, all right? Mobilized to put the Great Commission and his redemptive plan among all the nations, to put that at the center of the life of the church, okay? So we pray for a specific body of Christ, a national church, all right? So we choose one. Maybe it's Myanmar, all right? Then we have three categories. These three categories, the first prayer category is that we start by praying for the church in Myanmar, for that example, to grow in this wholehearted devotion, this wholehearted discipleship. So we use some of the apostolic recorded prayers in Scripture, and we apply those to pray for the church in Myanmar now. So we take those few prayers that we just highlighted and many, many more, and we apply the specific prayers to praying those things for the church in Myanmar or whatever nation we're praying for that day to be growing up. All right. So that what we're doing is contending spiritually for an increased depth of spiritual discipleship across the whole body of Christ in Myanmar. So we're not just praying for leaders. We're not just praying for missionaries. We're praying for the believers to grow into spiritual maturity. Why? So that that body of Christ can then move to the second category, which is growing in mission vision. Growing in discipleship is foundational. We will not see mobilization and growth in mission vision, growth in passion for the Great Commission, until we see the church in a nation on fire for Jesus. That is the biblical, logical progression that we talked about a moment ago. So the second category then of mobilization prayer is focused on prayer for growing mission mobilization, growing vision within the life of that national church, the church in Myanmar. So we're praying then that the Great Commission would be restored to its central place of emphasis, that it would become, once again, as it was in the early church, a central message of the body of Christ in Myanmar, all right? Across every local church, we're praying not just for one denomination or that church network, we're praying corporately for the national body of Christ to put the Great Commission back once again at the center of why the church exists. We want to pray for every local ministry to be growing. We want to pray for every local or every believer to become activated in the role that God has given them in the Great Commission. We believe God has a role for every single believer. Not every believer will become a missionary, a message bearer, but every believer is meant to be involved in some way, all right? So those are the first two categories. Prayer for the church in Myanmar or wherever we're praying, all right? First, growing in wholehearted discipleship, loving God with all the heart, mind, soul, strength. And then out of that overflow of loving God, connecting and aligning with what Jesus cares most about, putting the Great Commission back at the core of why the church in Myanmar exists. Then in the third category, we transition away from prayer just for the church itself in that nation. And now we begin to pray for the unreached themselves. Okay, we begin to pray that God would send his kingdom, that his kingdom would come, that his will would be done among all the ethnic peoples in that place, that the church in Myanmar would arise to reach the unreached body of Christ, or the unreached body, the unreached people groups, I mean, in the nation of Myanmar. We want to pray for church planting movements to be raised up in all across the nation of Myanmar among the unreached peoples. So this is what we're calling mobilization prayer. Now, in closing, we want to encourage you to implement mobilization prayer into your own local ministries. Maybe your local church, maybe a campus ministry fellowship, maybe a Bible study, all right? A small group of some form. We want to encourage you to put this kind of prayer, not only prayer for your church, not only prayer for even the unreached, though we do want to highlight that, and we do in our in the third category of the model of mobilization prayer, but really beginning to yourself pray and calling others in your church and your local ministries to pray for mobilization issues, wholehearted discipleship that then produces growing mission vision. Now, there are a few ways that GMMI does this and can encourage you even with ways to get involved. So I'm going to just give us a few tools, a few resources here. So we've developed what we call the Contend Monthly Day of Mobilization Prayer. And we do this every third Tuesday of the month. Okay, so every third Tuesday of any month is what we call the Contend Day of Prayer, monthly day of prayer for mobilization. All right, monthly day of mobilization prayer. All right. So what we do is we highlight a different country for each one of those monthly days of mobilization prayer. And we translate it into a lot of different languages. And then we try and get it out there. So we encourage you guys to maybe adopt that in your schedule, your monthly schedule, to put it in. It's a Tuesday, so it's not a Sunday for a local church, but through a WhatsApp group, through Facebook groups, Messenger groups, whatever, you can get this information out to your people, and then you can together be praying. Maybe you have a Bible study on a Tuesday night. You can gather the people. Maybe you can even gather them at church on a Tuesday, whatever. You figure out how to implement it. But the Contend Monthly Day of Mobilization Prayer. And then in 2024, next year, we're actually preparing to launch what we're calling a mobilization prayer community. And this is going to be in collaboration and partnership with many mobilization and mission organizations, many networks around the earth. So the idea will be that maybe a small group will commit to prayer, a one-hour prayer slot. And so we're going to have kind of an ongoing day-by-day virtual prayer chain that is going to be broken down into one-hour slots so that people can sign up and they can pray on an hourly kind of basis. Maybe they're from different nations all around the earth, but they're focused on prayer for this mobilization prayer type issues. And so we encourage you to get involved as a church network or to get involved as a mission organization or a mobilization type ministry. So be on the lookout for more information related to this mobilization prayer community. And probably near the beginning of 2024, we'll start promoting it and kind of getting it out there. We won't launch it right then. We'll launch it probably in the second quarter or so of 2024. But be on the lookout for that. Yeah, so I just want to close with that and say, yes, we want to encourage you, get involved in mobilization prayer. Let me close us. Lord, we thank you that you are teaching the body of Christ. Lord, that you're expanding our vision even of what prayer can be and what prayer is. Lord, you're helping us through your word and by your spirit to focus our prayer lives, to focus our praying. What is it that the Bible mainly prays for? Well, that needs to teach us so that we ourselves are praying in line with Scripture, in line with the will and the word of God. Lord, help us with this. Help your global church, Father, to take this very seriously, emphasizing mobilization prayer in many of our different ministry outlets. Father, we thank you for that. You are growing this wave of mobilization prayer in the earth. And I believe, Lord, with many others, that this focus on mobilization prayer will bring about a greater mobilization movement across the church and across the body of Christ. That's what we're after. That's what you're after, Holy Spirit. So we say, have your way. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. The Lord bless you as you engage in mobilization prayer.
To listen to more Mission Mobilization Chats, subscribe on YouTube or go to globalmmi.net.